text read to us a moment ago by Travis, and it's in Romans chapter 8. And Paul is declaring that we can have full assurance in God, whom protects us. We can trust in Him. We can depend upon Him. And I would like us to look at this subject this evening, our dependence on God, and that we should celebrate our dependence upon God. Now, since in the United States, we celebrate our independence tomorrow on the 4th of July. It is most countries have celebrate an Independence Day, a day where they were liberated from whoever or whatever in the past, and that they could point to and say, we became independent on such and such a day. Mexico has theirs in September. I'm sure Nigeria has an Independence Day. And we all have, most countries would have an Independence Day. Like I say, and we celebrate that. We have parades and we have all these things. And that's good that we have independence. In our case, it was independence from England, but it was also independence from Spain, from Portugal, from France, there were all sorts of countries that had a claim on the United States or on the America before it became the United States, and we declared our independence from everybody. Herbert Hoover is known for having the speech where he talks about our rugged individualism, where we celebrate the fact that we are an independent nation, that we are able to protect ourselves and to be independent, and that each one of us is individual and supports its own weight. And it is part of our culture in the United States, or it has been in the past, where we are fiercely independent, not just as a nation, but individually. But as citizens of heaven, we need to celebrate our dependence. As opposed to nationally, as citizens of the United States here on earth, where we celebrate our independence, as citizens of heaven, it is what we want to celebrate is our dependence upon God. And I want us to look at that. Why would we celebrate our dependence on God? Doesn't God want us to be ruggedly individualistic? Doesn't He want us to celebrate our independence? Doesn't God want us to be independent in our actions and deeds and in our nature and choices? And the answer, of course, is no, that God... What God teaches is the exact opposite. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through myself? No. I can do all things without Him? No. He says, I can do all things through Him, through Jesus Christ, through God. That's whom we do all things. We are independent. We are completely dependent upon God and for His strength, for His will, for His sovereignty, for His authority over our lives. We are completely dependent upon Him. And that's not bad. That is not bad. God does not want a bunch of people who are independent in the sense of we're going to do our own thing and somehow that's going to work out. He wants us to understand that we can depend upon Him, and more than that, that we should respect the authority of His will in our lives. Jesus over and over again said that He did not come to fulfill His own will, but rather to fulfill the will of Him who sent Him. You know, there is a passage in Philippians chapter 2 where it says that Jesus emptied Himself. Being in the form of God, He emptied Himself, and He learned obedience to the point of the cross. And you think about that, as God, He did not have to obey anybody. But when He emptied Himself and took on human form, He had to learn obedience. It was something that he had to learn, that he had, that something he was not subject to ever throughout eternity, and it was something that he had to learn, obedience. And he did. He was obedient to the point of the cross. He did exactly as he was supposed to. But it was something that even he had to learn to be dependent upon God for every aspect of his life. Jesus says it in John chapter 15 and verse 5, where he's talking about that I am the vine and you are the branches. And several times he said it in different ways, but in verse 5 he says there, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon the vine because we are the branches. We are dependent upon the vine for sustenance. We are dependent upon the vine for giving us the ability to flower, to bear fruit. We are dependent upon the vine for all things. And apart from the vine, we are nothing. We are just branches that are to be pruned away and burned. And so, as citizens of heaven, we need to celebrate our dependence, not our independence. As citizens of the United States, we celebrate our independence. We are dependent upon God. You say, well, what for? I want us to look at that briefly. Generally, because He is the Creator. We are completely dependent upon a Creator. We did not create ourselves. We couldn't create ourselves. And so God created us. Separate apart from our opinion, separate apart from getting into it at all, in any way, shape, or form, any kind of thing. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it wasn't until day 6 that He created man. In Job 38, verse 4, I want us to look at these in this passage in Job and the two in Isaiah, because God is making a point to Job, and Isaiah is making a point also to the people about God's sovereignty in the affairs of man. In Job chapter 38 and in verse 4, we read that God is speaking to Job, and he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." And he goes on, "Who set its measurement, since you know? Who stretched out the line on it? On what were the bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who enclosed the sea?" And he goes on, he says, where were you? If you think that you have this understanding, if you think that you have the right to ask me questions, where were you when I did all this? And then, of course, those are rhetorical questions. The fact is that God was not dependent upon man in the creation. Rather, man is completely dependent upon God for being created. In Isaiah chapter 42, and then again in chapter 45, but in chapter 42 and verse 5, we have Isaiah bringing up the point. Isaiah 42:5, we read, "And thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness." He goes on. But notice he says that this, the God is the one who created all these things. He's the one that did all these things. And it is up to us to understand these things, that he did all of this. In Isaiah 45 and verse 18, we read that, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens." He is a God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it in a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. "I am the Lord, and there is none else." And he goes on once again after stating that about himself. Over and over again, we see that God is the Creator. He is a Creator separate apart from man, putting in his two cents. He created everything without man's help. And so, generally speaking, we are totally dependent, and we need to celebrate that. We need to understand that and recognize that and celebrate that, that we are totally dependent upon God who created everything separate and apart from us. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, at the end there, the last book of the New Testament, we read that because he is the creator, he is worthy of certain things. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." So in a general way, we are generally dependent upon God just because he is the creator. He created the world and the universe and everything in it. We're going to go from general to specific, but there's a couple others that I want us to consider. Generally, to everybody again, he is the sustainer. He not only created the universe, and specifically the earth, but the universe and everything in it, but he sustains it. We need to recognize in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we see this pointed out by Paul. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17, where it talks about the fact that he's not only the creator, but he upholds everything. And then again, we're going to look at in Hebrews chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Notice what it says. It says, "For by him all things were created, both the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And so because he exists, because the power that he has, he sustains everything. He not only created everything, but he keeps everything working in order. He sustains the whole universe, our lives, and every single thing that going on. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the first part of it, it says, "And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power." He upholds all things. He sustains all things. He keeps all things going. He not only created everything, but then it didn't fall into chaos. He sustains everything because of the power. And we are totally dependent upon God for that. We cannot, even for a moment, sustain anything in the universe separate and apart from God. We're totally dependent upon God for having created everything and for sustaining everything. And we're totally dependent for everything that he does for every person on earth, for mankind in general. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 talks about the fact that he causes the sun to shine on the good and the bad, and he causes the rain to fall on the good and the bad. It's something that we are dependent upon him. It doesn't matter. I could be the worst, most depraved human being, but every morning the sun's going to come up and the sun's going to shine. Every so often it's going to rain, and it's going to sustain nature. And I could be the most faithful follower of God, and every morning the sun is going to rise, and every as often as God declares it, sees fit, it's going to cause he's going to cause the rain to come down around me. And so God not only created everything, we're dependent upon him for having created everything and for sustaining it, but for everybody, that's good or evil, he says. There's a poem that exists, "If God Should Go on Strike," and I've presented it before. I just want to go over it briefly or quickly. It says, "How good it is that God above has never gone on strike, because he was not treated fair in things he didn't like. If only once he'd given up and said, 'That's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun, cut off the heat supply, and to the moon, give no more light, and run the oceans dry. Then just to make things really tough and put the pressure on, turn off the vital oxygen till every breath is gone. You know that he'd be justified in fairness with the game, for no one has been more abused or met with more disdain than God, and yet he carries on supplying you and me with all the favors of his grace and everything for free. Men may say they want a better deal, and so on strike they go. But what a deal we've given God, to whom all things we owe. We don't consider whom we hurt to gain the things we like, but what a mess we'd all be in if God should go on strike. And that's by one of my favorite authors, Unknown. It's true, you know, all the things that if you know, God does not have to specifically kill us. All he has to do is stop blessing us. All he has to do is stop giving us all these things that he supplies to every man. We are totally dependent upon God. The atheist is totally dependent upon God for every breath that he takes, for the warmth from the sun, for the rain, for everything. The agnostic is totally, the one who believes in other gods, the one who, every single person, regardless of whether we appreciate God or not, is totally dependent upon God, generally for so many different things, but specifically also. Specifically, we are totally dependent on God for evidence of his presence, for evidence that he exists. Generally, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32 tells us that we can look at nature and we can see that God exists. We can figure that out just by what we see in nature. God has not left himself without testimony or without evidence. And so generally, we look at that. And it's not that nature has somehow, we can figure it out. It's that nature God has put the evidence there. We are dependent upon the fact that he put the evidence there, and that he has given us the power of reason to figure these things out. Of his presence, so we are without excuse. The passage says that because we have this evidence, generally we are without excuse. Now, Job chapter 12, verses 7-9 says, "But now ask the beasts and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens and let them tell you, or speak to the earth and let it teach you, and let the fish of the sea declare to you. Who among all of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this?" Now think about that. Nature itself, he's talking about. You can ask nature itself. Of course, you know, he's being anthropomorphistically. That's a big word. Anthropomorphisms, and basically he's attributing human things to animals, to rocks, and to things. And he said, you can just look at these things. You can look at nature. You can look at the fish. The fish show evidence. The birds show evidence of God. The beasts, let them tell you. Everything to the earth itself will bear evidence of God. And so God does not leave himself without evidence, without testimony that he exists. And he gives us this evidence generally, and then he gives it to us specifically in specific revelation. We are completely dependent upon God for his revelation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, who knows the mind of God? Who can know the mind of God? We couldn't. We couldn't figure it out. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, my ways are above your ways. And my thoughts are above your thoughts. You can't reach my thoughts and my ways on your own. And so God has given us specific revelation about himself. We do not know anything about God that he has not revealed to us. We can know that a God exists by nature, but we don't know anything specific about him except through what he has revealed to us. Anything we think we know on our own, we don't. We're just guessing. We only know that which he has revealed to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says that even though God had revealed all these things in different ways and different manners in the past, he says now he does that through Jesus Christ in his very life, in the life that he lived. We talked this morning about the fact that his life is an example that we can see how God behaves responds. I asked this morning, I said, somebody give me a better word than reacts. I don't like the word reacts. And somebody pulled me over and said, responds. I said, okay, response is a better word to that. How he responds to different situations. What makes him angry? What makes him laugh? How does he respond to different situations. And we can know that because of the life of Jesus, the way he did it. And then in the Old Testament as well, we can see how God dealt with people and sin and all that stuff. And of course, not only through Jesus Christ in his life, but through the Holy Spirit in Revelation. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 tells us that this includes not just the New Testament, not just when Jesus came onto the scene, but that in the Old Testament. He says, what's the advantage of the Jew? Or what advantage has the Jew, or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, that they are entrusted with the oracles of God. What then, if some did not believe, their unbelief that will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? And so, you know, the fact that they were unfaithful doesn't change the fact that God gave them the oracles of God, and that we can know about God through his revelation. We're not just dependent upon God for all the general stuff, but specifically for his revelation and his salvation. We are completely dependent upon God for salvation. Oh, the only thing we can do, and we talk about that, the only thing we can do is we can accept it. We can accept the free gift of God. We are to do those things which God expects us to do, but we never earn salvation. It is the free gift of God. We are completely dependent upon God for salvation. We could do all those things that we need to do that are required for salvation, and if God did not supply salvation, it wouldn't do us a bit of good. It wouldn't do me a bit of good to live a good life and to have self-control and to assemble with people and pray to God and do all those things. If Jesus had not died on the cross, it wouldn't do me a bit of good. I still couldn't have salvation because Jesus didn't die. And we are completely dependent upon God for that. We are completely dependent upon God. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And that includes our own names. We are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ for salvation. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. We are completely dependent upon God, Jesus Christ and God in order to have salvation. We cannot have salvation in any other way. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. For how shall they believe unless they hear? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. That's how we have faith, and so we are completely dependent upon God for his revelation, for his salvation, and for protection from Satan, from temptation, from everything that's evil. We are completely dependent upon God. We could stand against Satan, but we would be completely out of our leagues. We would be completely overcome. We would not have any ability to withstand. The only way we could stand up against Satan and having done all to withstand him is putting on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Putting on the full armor of God. Because we have access to the full armor of God, we can withstand Satan. We can stand firm against Satan in his thing. If we do not put on the full armor of God, we could try to stand against Satan. The fact is, it will not work. He overwhelms us. He is much more powerful than we are. And so, it's like a child playing with a rag doll. It just would not be fair in that matchup. But by putting on the full armor of God, the full armor of God, not just the parts that are most convenient, but the full armor, we can not only stand firm against them, but we can overcome. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, it says that let no one say when he's being tempted that it's like you're special, and if the one who thinks he stand, be careful lest he fall. If you think that you can stand against Satan, you just be careful, because that pride is going to make you fall. But it says that God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will give a way of escape so that you may withstand, that you may stand in that situation. Only because of God, because He doesn't allow more than we can handle to come into our lives. That's the only reason. We are completely dependent upon God for that. We are completely dependent upon God for that. We do not decide that. We do not get strong enough to go up against temptation, against Satan. God does not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. And so we are dependent upon Him for protection and safety. And literally all blessings. We are dependent upon God for all blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How do we get to the heavenly places? To spiritual blessings? Only in Christ Jesus, and God gives those blessings. We are completely dependent upon God for those blessings, and we need to be in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, anything and everything that you look for that is good, anything and everything that you look for in protection, is we are dependent upon God for it. Let me get to the conclusion here. It's good that we are responsible and able people. As a nation, as United States, as Christians, that we are responsible and that we are able, that we grow and that we mature in the Word, that spiritually we become stronger and mature, that we can partake of the meat of the Word spiritually. Nationally, we celebrate our Day of Independence. And there's a lot of things that God expects from us that we are supposed to do ourselves, that He expects us to do ourselves. But the fact of the matter is that there are many things that we simply cannot do, that we are totally dependent upon God to do. We have to depend on Him for these things, and there's no shame in that. But rather, there's wisdom in recognizing it, wisdom in doing it. What about you this evening? Are you a Christian? If you are not a Christian, then God has for you the Word of God. He says that you can become, you can make that right today. You can become a Christian today. God has done everything that you can do. He paid for our sins, which we couldn't do. Controlled Satan, which we couldn't do. He opened the gates of heaven, and He invites us in. Things we couldn't do. He gives